The Gospel of Isaiah, Chapter 81. The Clothing Which God Gives. The Spirit of Jehovah is upon me, because Jehovah has anointed me. To publish glad tidings to the meek has he sent me, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim to the captives freedom, and to the bounden, perfect liberty, to proclaim the year of acceptance with Jehovah, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all those that mourn, to impart gladness to the mourners of Sheol, to give them a beautiful crown instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of sorrow, the clothing of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees approved, the plantation of Jehovah for his glory. And they that spring from you shall build up the ruins of old times, they shall restore the ancient desolations, they shall repair the cities laid waste, the desolations of continued ages. And strangers shall stand up and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your husbandmen and vinedressers. But you shall be called the priests of Jehovah, the ministers of our God shall be your title. The riches of the nations shall you eat, and in the glory shall you make your boast. Instead of your shame, you shall receive a double inheritance, and of your ignominy, you shall rejoice in their portion, for in their land, a double share shall you inherit, and everlasting gladness shall you possess. For I am Jehovah, who love judgment, who hate rapine and iniquity, and I will give them the reward of their work with faithfulness, and an everlasting covenant will I make with them, and their seed shall be illustrious among the nations, and their offspring in the midst of the peoples. And they that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are a seed which Jehovah has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in Jehovah. My soul shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the mantle of righteousness, as the bridegroom decks himself with a priestly crown, and as the bride adorns herself with her costly jewels. Surely, as the earth pushes forth her tender shoots, and as a garden makes her seed to germinate, so shall the Lord Jehovah cause righteousness to spring forth, and praise, in the presence of all the nations. This is one of the shortest chapters in Isaiah, yet it is one of the fullest in gospel instruction and comfort. We need not spend any time in noting when it applies, for all that has been said of preceding chapters, and of the entire book, applies here as well. Moreover, the fact that Jesus in the synagogue in Nazareth, after reading a portion of this chapter, said, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears," shows that it reached as far as the time of his first advent, and if it was applicable then, how much more now? God has not withdrawn his spirit of comfort from the Son, and therefore he is still clothed with the Spirit, to comfort all that mourn. While there are many things in the chapter that might well claim all our attention, let us spend the most of our time and space in considering the covering which God provides for all people who will receive it. A change of raiment. In two verses of this chapter is this clothing spoken of, namely, the third and the tenth. The anointed of the Lord is commissioned to proclaim that God has provided the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And the prophet breaks forth, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, my soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation, he has covered me with the robe of righteousness." Suppose we put a few other texts by the side of these, and then see what they teach us. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputes not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. What says the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that works is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describes the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputes righteousness without works, saying, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. By the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned, and come short of the glory of God, being justified, made righteous, freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke you, O Satan, Even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments, and stood before the angel. And he answered and spoke unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused your iniquity to pass from you, and I will clothe you with change of raiment. And I said, Let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head, and clothed him with garments. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. What have we in these texts? Simply this, that all men are by nature sinful. Their nature is sin. They are not only covered with sin, but are filled with it. Their webs shall not become garments, either shall they cover themselves with their works. Their best works are full of imperfection, and provide no covering. Every man at his best state is altogether vanity. But God's works endure forever, since they are all done in righteousness, and he has wrought a covering for all men, even the garment of his own righteous life, the garment of salvation, for we are saved by his life. God covers himself with light, as with a garment, in the statement that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We learn that the glory of God, the light that surrounds him, is his own perfect life. Righteousness is glory, even though it is not now so recognized among men. For in the world to come, when everything will appear just as it really is, the righteous will shine forth as the sun. Therefore we know that man's original clothing was the light of the glory of God, and that this was lost, and it became necessary to provide manufactured clothing for him only when he sinned. Our clothes are but the mark of the curse, and the fact that we must wear manufactured clothing is a constant sign that our bodies are still unredeemed from the curse. The more gay and pronounced is one's clothing, the more is the shame of the curse emphasized. Our present clothing of the body is nothing to be proud of, but rather something to cause shame. Thank God that it is not to last forever. The clothing of the life, clothing that grows. We have already seen, from the text quoted, that the exchanging of the filthy garment for the clean raiment is the taking away of all iniquity. The fine linen, clean and white, is the righteousness of saints. But this righteousness of God through the faith of Jesus Christ is put into, as well as upon, all them that believe. And this brings us to the heart of the matter, the way the clothing of the saints is prepared. The covering is the glory, the righteousness of God, and the glory of God is seen upon his people simply because it is put into them. Remember that God is clothed with light, as with a garment, because he himself is light. His clothing is his life, and that proceeds from within, from the heart. We are clothed with the garment of salvation only when the salvation of God is within us, that is, when we are saved from the sins of our inmost being. Then we have an armor that none of Satan's weapons can pierce. When truth is in the inward parts, it is a shield and buckler. The lions did not hurt Daniel, because innocency was found in him. It was impossible that Christ should be held by the grave, because he knew no sin. And it was this righteousness in the heart, filling his entire being, that made him master of the winds and the waves, as well as of wild beasts and men. Now we can see the intimate connection and the force of the word. For with my soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garment of salvation, he has covered me with the robe of righteousness. For as the earth brings forth her bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. God's people are clothed with righteousness and salvation just as the earth is clothed with verdure. So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. For the earth brings forth fruit of herself, that is, automatically. We have all seen automatons, self-acting machines, and have wondered at the perfection of their movement, but have known that the power to move did not originate in them. So the earth brings forth fruit spontaneously, moved by the indwelling word which was planted in the beginning, when God said, Let the earth bring forth. So the incorruptible seed, the engrafted word, abiding in the souls of men, regenerates, produces a new life, which is a covering of glory, the garment of praise. This clothing of salvation and righteousness is at the same time the garment of praise, the garment of salvation. There can be no righteousness, no salvation, where there is not praise. The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The anointing with the Holy Ghost is the anointing with the oil of gladness. The walls of Zion are salvation, and her gates are praise. God compasses his people about with songs of deliverance. Indeed, it is by praise and thanksgiving that we appropriate the salvation that God gives. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. God says, Whoso offers the sacrifice of thanksgiving glorifies me, and prepares a way that I may show him the salvation of God. The walls of Jericho fell only when Israel shouted victory, and it was when Israel, going out to meet the enemy that vastly outnumbered them, began to sing and to praise the beauty of holiness, that the Lord set ambushments against their enemies and utterly destroyed them. It is with singing that the ransomed of the Lord return and come to Zion. They come with everlasting joy upon their heads, and this joy is the gladness that springs up in the heart at the knowledge of God's wondrous salvation. How real clothing grows. It is perfectly in keeping with the thought of the chapter, that God's people should be clothed with the garments of praise and salvation, and covered with the robe of righteousness just as the earth brings forth her bud, since they are trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. The spring has just come, and the illustration is fresh before our eyes, as we see the bare and seemingly dead trees, and the naked earth suddenly clothed with beautiful garments. Whence came this robe of living green? It came from within. The life power within manifested itself outwardly. The life was manifested, and we have seen it, even in animate nature. The tree is clothed with the life that is in it. The life of the good seed, the word of God planted in the earth, clothes it with garments of glory and beauty. Even so is Jerusalem to put on her beautiful garments. Awake, awake! Put on your strength, O Zion! Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city! For henceforth there shall no more come into you the uncircumcised and the unclean. Speaking of the lilies, Christ said, Even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? Christ says to us, Why do you worry about something wherewith to clothe the body, when your heavenly Father, who knows all your needs, not only provides this everyday clothing, that soon wears out, but supplies us with clothing far superior to that of Solomon? Notice, Christ says that God will much more clothe us than the grass of the field, but the clothing of the grass of the field far excels all the glory of Solomon's dress. Therefore we learn that God will clothe us even as he does the lily, with garments that grow from the inner life, but with a far more glorious dress. The righteous shall shine forth as the sun, even as the stars forever and ever. The only question is, would we rather be clothed with God's righteousness than to walk naked? Because you say, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and know not that you are wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Yet a few words more must be devoted to this wonderful chapter. Note that it is the poor to whom this glad tidings is announced. How fitting that the poor should be clothed. They are set free from prison, and given new clothing, and sent on their way rejoicing. He has sent me, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Literally, he has sent me to cry to the captives, liberty, and to the bound, deliverance. The Hebrew word rendered liberty means a swift flight, a wheeling, as of a bird that flies in circles, wheeling in flight through the air, and hence is the term for the swallow. There can be no more perfect picture of absolute freedom than a swallow flying through the air, and this is just the freedom that Christ proclaims to all men. Everyone who will may be as free as a bird, free from sin and everything that is a hindrance to perfect service to God, and this freedom is ours to enjoy now. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. A proclamation of universal liberty. Remember that this liberty is for all. The Lord sends his servant to comfort all that mourn. The proclamation of liberty is to all that are bound. Christ has entered into the strong man's prison house and has bound the tyrant that had usurped authority over men, and has taken from him all his armor wherein he trusted. Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetimes subject to bondage. Every prison door is open, every chain is broken, the captive has only to arise, and loose himself from the bands of his neck. Shake yourself from the dust, arise and sit down, O Jerusalem, loose yourself from the bands of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. In Christ every soul has been given power to break loose from every sin, every evil habit, every inherited or acquired evil, no matter what its nature. He has given us his own freedom, and when that is said, nothing more can be added. It is yours to claim by faith. If you do not know the way out of the prison, even though the doors be open, if you cannot find the door, inquire of Christ, and he will reveal the way to you. He is the way. Accept him in his fullness. Study the perfection of the manifestation of his life, yield to it, and then stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. Who may proclaim this message? One thing more, the greatest of all, and that is, who is anointed to proclaim this message of freedom? Christ, you say. True, but it was a carpenter's son, himself a journeyman carpenter, who read the message to a company of his neighbors and acquaintances, and said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." He was sent by the Lord God with the message of freedom and comfort, and he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. And vice versa, everyone who has received the word of God is sent. God has reconciled us to himself through Christ, and has placed in us the word of reconciliation, so that we are ambassadors on behalf of Christ, as though God were beseeching by us instead of by Christ, so that we pray in Christ's stead. Be reconciled to God. The anointing is by the Spirit of God, and everyone who turns at the reproofs of God, which are the way of life, has the Spirit poured out upon him, and the words of God made known to him, and is therefore sent with the message. Remember also that these words were spoken to the Jews by the man Isaiah, nearly 800 years before Jesus read them in the synagogue at Nazareth, and they were spoken with burning lips, from a full heart. Isaiah was no actor, but felt every word that he uttered. He was not speaking something that meant nothing to him, and could not mean anything to anybody for hundreds of years. The sole liberty was for the people. In the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, and Isaiah, whose soul had been made joyful in God by the clothing of righteousness that he had received, the purging of his sin, and the taking away of his iniquity, was commissioned to proclaim it. So is everyone who is willing to accept the anointing, for does not the message say to those who will hear, "You shall be named the priests of the Lord, men shall call you the ministers of our God"? Oh, it is glorious to be free, but that alone is small compared with the freedom to set others at liberty.